Let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, a familiar passage of Scripture is where we'll begin today. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, we're going to read in just a moment from verse 23. You know, it's funny, the stories you read of Christians of the past, like back in the Depression, back during war times and stuff like that, you begin to think, my, we sure do have a shallow brand of Christianity today. And you wonder, why? Why would that happen? And I think in some cases, it's because they were lied to get a profession out of them. What do you mean? I mean, there are too many who simply trusted Christ because they had financial difficulties and someone told them they trusted Christ to get them out of the financial difficulties. Too many that had health problems and they were told, well, if you just get saved, you come to Jesus, you make a profession of faith and He'll make you well. And then there are some that were told because they had family problems, you come to Jesus, I'll take care of all your family problems, they'll be done. And so they made a profession in order to get their family straightened out. Some because they were going through hard times, said the reason you're going through hard times, because you haven't been saved yet. So if you ask Jesus to save you, then He'll not only save you, but also He'll make those hard times better. Now the problem with telling folks those type of things to get them saved is I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and here is his testimony since he got saved. Look at it, beginning in verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I can't imagine going through that once, let alone 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Then you go over to chapter 12 and you look at verse 7. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Let me stop right there. What he's talking about, the abundance of the revelations, is that God used the Apostle Paul to pen at least 13 books of the New Testament. No other writer of the Scripture wrote as many books as did the Apostle Paul. Now, some believe he wrote 14. Some believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. But regardless of that, that was an abundance of revelation where God dealt with him. The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That Paul did not write his ideas down. He wrote what God already had down in heaven. For the Word of God proclaims, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. So he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, you look at all that the Apostle Paul suffered since he got saved. He has a physical problem that he prays for the Lord to take away, and God basically says, no. Well, then what's the use in being saved? What good does it do to get born again? You know, people in communist and Muslim countries usually never had a problem till they came to Christ. Then when they come to Christ, boy, they end up with all kinds of persecutions. In some cases, labor camps and jail. In some cases, death. John Huss, the great reformer, like many of the reformers, had absolutely no problem with the Roman Church until he realized its false teachings and began to write and teach the pure gospel of Christ. For that, he was persecuted, imprisoned, and then burned at the stake. I'm just simply saying that for a lot of people, their troubles began when they took Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yet today there are preachers who tell people, trust Christ and all your troubles will be over. And yet in the past, even in church days, even in the New Testament days, for many people, they knew that if they trusted Christ, their troubles would have just begun. We had a young man visit our services when we were over in the other building. He visited for a couple of months, just about every service. He was from China. He was here on the Chinese government dime to get an education and whatever it was that they wanted him to get it for. He came and he heard the gospel and he had a desire to get saved. But in talking to him, he said he would not make that decision because he knew if he did, it would end everything he was going for in China. Maybe the reason there are so many unsaved church members today is people trusted Christ to get them well, but not for salvation. Maybe because people trusted him to get their bills paid, but they didn't trust him for salvation. Maybe there are people who trusted him to put their family back together, but not for salvation. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, because Christ has saved some sick people and he made them well. He has also saved some and taken them on to heaven when they died of their illness. Christ has saved some people and taken care of their bills, and he has saved some and they still ended up in financial ruin. Christ has saved some people and put their families back together, but he has also saved some and their families still split up. Now, I read of all that the Apostle Paul went through, and you may wonder what on earth kept him going with all the trials that he suffered. And then when he asked for something to be done for him, God said no. He wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." He also said in that same chapter in verse 18, he said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." A little later, we find Paul writing from a prison cell in Rome. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, his prayer, he said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." The truth is, you look back through the times of the New Testament church, and the greatest growth in the church age has always been in times of persecution, because they understood what salvation really meant. Now, salvation can bring one to more troubles, then why get saved? Let me give you a few reasons. I'm sure we can think of more, but you want us to get done at a decent time today, and so we will. Let me put the one that would be number one on my list, one of the main reasons for getting saved. How about to escape hell? Revelation 20, 14 and 15 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 21, 8 declares, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and idolaters and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." When Jesus told the story of the rich man and the beggar, he said, "And the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." Now, I don't know anybody that really would want to go through that. I'd say if getting saved can deliver your sinful soul from hell, it's worth it to get saved even if God never answered a prayer, never did one thing for you, it would still be worth salvation. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus told the religious man Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that Nicodemus got that he was talking directly to him, he said, marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I don't care who you are, in order to escape hell and get heaven, you must be born again. Now, why is that? Well, the Bible says that there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, Ecclesiastes 7:20. According to the Word of God, every one of us are sinners in the sight of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the Bible declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, part of the problem is that too many people have never seen themselves as God sees them, as sinners, as lost, as condemned, as ungodly, as enemies of God. Turn over for just a moment, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want you to notice a few of the terminologies that God uses of mankind. He says, for instance, in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. He says in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, as sinners before a holy God, we stand condemned before him. And had God not loved us so much to put his son on the cross of Calvary to literally pay our sin debt. Bible declares he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Jesus did not die on that cross for anything that he had done. He died for our sins. God says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because there is absolutely nothing good that anyone could do to get themselves to heaven. The only way you can get there is through his son who paid your sin debt. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, when you die, there's only two places you can go. You either go into heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no sleepless state. When you die, you go to heaven or hell. That's it. If you want to go to heaven, then you must already have Jesus Christ as your Savior. For the Bible proclaims in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man, wants to die after this judgment. That's what the Bible says. So if you want to go to heaven, you've got to have salvation already taken care of. You must know Christ as Savior. The Apostle Peter was preaching in Acts 4:12, and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I know this is not politically correct, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Most of political correctness is built on lies. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Muhammad can't take anybody to heaven. And anybody who dies in the name of Muhammad doesn't go to 72 virgins, but goes to scream in the pit of hell through all eternity. Anybody trusting in Buddha, when they die, They go to the pit of hell to burn for eternity. Anybody trusting in their beer to get them to heaven will die and go to hell to burn throughout all eternity. The rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He said, well, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? Let me tell you something. I've got a harder question than that. How can a holy God allow anybody to go to heaven? How could he? We're sinners. We deserve judgment. How could he let us go to heaven? Only one way. And thank God for it. And by the way, you'll never know how much God is a God of love until you understand he's a holy God who judges sin. The Bible says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. His wrath is against ungodliness. But he offers you his grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, it'd be bad enough to die in a fire, but it'd be far worse to continually burn and never get relief. Not for a moment, not for a second. No hope of getting out of it throughout eternity. When I got saved in 1971, after being brought up in a home of drinking and cursing and only hearing the name Jesus as a curse word, I was a country western disc jockey in Otsego, Michigan. We had started attending a church so that I could play softball with their church team. First time I ever heard that I was lost. I figured I was a pretty decent fella. One day I'd stand before God. He'd put my good works on one side, the bad on the other. And I was such a good guy. This is what most people think. I was such a good guy. The good would outweigh the bad. God let me go to heaven. But that's not the way it happens. You see, I found out those good works, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what they are. The Bible says we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, that I wasn't a good person, I was a sinner in the sight of God. That I was lost, and I began to realize because of my lost condition, because of my sin, I was going to burn in hell for eternity. But then I heard the marvelous story that God loved me so much, He put His own Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to die in my place, to take my place. He died for my sin, was buried, and rose 3 days later from the dead. And I could have eternal life by trusting in Him. I remember I hadn't been brought up in church. I had just simply come to the very real conclusion that if I died like I was going to burn in hell. And I didn't want to burn in hell. Jesus Christ was the only escape. And so I turned to Him and asked Him to save me. And He did. I had no thought. I didn't turn to Him and say, Lord, if you want me to be a preacher, that's what it'll be. I had no intention of being a preacher. As far as I knew, I was just going to continue in radio all my life, or radio and TV all my life. I've got a face made for radio, I'm told, so it had to just been radio. I didn't want to go to hell. I trusted Him as Savior. Now, that seems like the reasonable thing to do. If you don't want to burn in hell for eternity and there's only one escape, why wouldn't you take it? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I mean, after all, if you were in a building that had only one door for you to get out of and you see that the building is on fire and it is going to collapse, you are going to be burned horribly. You're going to die in agony. But there is one door, and you can get out if you take that one door and not experience that momentary building. I mean, who would just sit there and say, no, I'll just face the flames? What kind of an idiot does that? No, but what they do is you go over and you take that door. Remember 9/11 when the peaceful Muslims killed all those people in the buildings? That religion of peace. Those people were in those upper rooms. And when I see replays of this, it stirs back all those old memories. Here they are. They're in the higher parts of the World Trade Center. The fires are getting closer to them. They have huddled around the windows. And those people to escape the flames, even knowing that if they escape out that window, it means sure death below. They went out the windows to face a quick death rather than to suffer burning. You die lost, you go to an eternal burning where there is no escape. Your escape is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. By the way, I don't care what comes next on earth. Like I said, if he never answered another prayer, if he never did another thing for me, thank God, I'm not going to hell. Heaven is mine because I'm taking Christ as Savior. That's enough for me. But that's not the only reason to get saved. There's more. How about to have peace with God? Romans 5:1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the God of the universe, the God who created all that is, to have peace with Him. Romans 5:10 declares that we're enemies apart from Him. Enemies of God. But those who take Christ as Savior get peace. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But now get this, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you've not been born again, if you've not taken Christ as Savior, you stand before the God of heaven right now. You don't have to wait till you die for this. You stand before the God of heaven right now, condemned. Now, I know some people have trouble understanding that. They say, well, how can I be condemned? I'm still here on earth. I'm still alive. I'm not in hell yet. How can I be condemned? The same way a person can be on death row at the prison. They are condemned to die, but they're not dead yet. If you've not taken Christ as Savior, your heart is still beating. You're not in hell right now, but you are condemned. You say, well, how can I get out of being condemned by a holy God? Take His pardon. He offers it free. That pardon is offered through Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you cleansing. He offers you being uncondemned. Ah, but you must take Christ as your Savior. To have peace with God. Now, I've heard people say, but I believe in God. Wait, the devil believes in God and trembles. That's the declaration of James chapter 2. But also Hebrews 10:28 says, he that hath despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You realize for a person to say, I'm not going to take Christ as Savior. I'm just going to try to get there myself. You've trodden underfoot the Son of God. Because you see, He came to be the sacrifice for your sin. And you're saying, I don't need Him. I'm good enough myself. You're saying you're better than Jesus. You're saying that to the Father. Enemy of God. Of course, that's what enemies of God would say. God loved you, gave His Son for you, gave you the Word of God and said, trust my Son. And every day you stay without Jesus Christ, you're saying the Son's not good enough for you. Every day you stay without Christ, you're siding with the devil against Jesus. And you are an enemy of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. So that's two pretty good reasons to get saved right there. Even if nothing good ever else happened to you again, even if God never answered another prayer, two pretty good reasons to get saved, to escape hell. And to have peace with God. Here's the third one, though. To have every sin forgiven. 1 John 1:7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Had a man say to me one time, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. This was a man who had fought over in Vietnam. He had personally taken part in killing some people in Vietnam. And, of course, if you take part in war, there's a good chance that you're going to end up doing something. He says, can I possibly be forgiven for the things? I said, I'm going to sit there and say, well, listen, this was justified. He didn't need to hear that. What he needed to hear was the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I had a lady say to me one night, she said, Preacher, you don't understand, man. I've been divorced and I've been remarried. I wasn't going to talk to her about marriage and divorce and remarriage. I just said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't care what it is that you have done. You turn to Christ and He'll forgive you. John 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. One lady said, but preacher, you don't understand. I murdered my baby by abortion. Can God ever forgive that? And I just gave her the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, it's whosoever will may come. I don't care who you are. You come to Jesus. You get His forgiveness. He'll give you eternal life. In Psalm 103 in verses 11 and 12, He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. What a marvelous truth. To be clean. To be forgiven by God. Now, I feel like I need to put this parenthesis in there. That does not mean that you'll not have to reap. For what you sow. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a reaping. You take a person, he goes in, he robs a store, and he gets caught, he's in jail, he's sentenced to, 5 to 15 years in jail, and he gets saved. Wonderful that he got saved. He still has to serve his time. God doesn't get him out of jail for that. God gives him eternal life, God forgives his sin, he's clean in the eyes of God. But he still has to reap the fruit from what he sowed. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And then verses 17 and 18 declares, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now I know man may have trouble forgetting what you did, but God says he'll put them as far as you away from you as the east is from the west. God is so particular in the way He words things in the Word of God. Because if you said, as far as the north is from the south, well, you just look at our globe. You go north, and you can only go so far, and you're going south again. You go south, you only go so far, and you're going north again. But you know, you can travel east around that globe and keep traveling, never run into west. You're just always going east, and you can go west, and just keep going west, and going west, and going west. As far as the east is from the west, He hath removed our transgressions from us. Man, I love that. Every sin forgiven. So if He's not going to answer prayer, if He's not going to get you over your cancer, if He's not going to put your family back together, why get saved? Well, to escape hell is a great reason. To have peace with God is a great reason. To have every sin forgiven is a great reason. How about this one? I like this. To have His presence. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. That's a marvelous truth. Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I know I can't go any place that He isn't. And there is not a night so dark that He cannot find me, does not see me, or is not with me. I have a marvelous God. You know, when God told Paul when he was praying to be healed, He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He never doubted the presence of His Christ going with him through the trial. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me all the way to the end. So the child of God, even when he comes to that time of death, can say, thank God, He is with me. To have His presence in all things. I have a promise in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Marvelous truth. See, there's a lot of reasons to get saved. Even if He never healed you of an illness. Even if He never took care of your bills. Even if He never answered another prayer. A lot of reasons to get saved. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. To have His purpose in life. You realize there are some people get up every day and all they've got to look forward to is playing that same old video game again. That's all they've got. Video games. That's all they live for. Video games. Nothing. And when you're done playing, by the way, if the computer stops or the video game stops, nobody in the world knows and nobody in the world cares, and you make absolutely no difference whatsoever in the world by that kind of a life. Oh, there are people who live for maybe more than that. They live for sports. And when the games are all over and the last ball is thrown and the last hockey puck is hit and the last goal's been scored and the last touchdown's been there, what have you accomplished for anybody in this world? There's no purpose. Or the people that live to party and then the next party end up with a life of brokenness, broken relationships, broken spirits. And yet Paul could say from that jail cell, he said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It changes your entire purpose in life. Not only that, it changes your purpose in dying. Changes in your purpose for eternity. There's some here this morning. You look at all those reasons for being saved, and yet you've not even accepted His purpose yet. God has a purpose for you to be here. And if you don't want to know what that is, all you have to do is go to Revelation chapter 4 and read verse 11. There is a purpose for life. I'm not going to preach on that part so much right now. But God makes life definitely interesting. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That was His whole goal for being here. He said, well, look how that ended. Him dying on the cross. Him dying, being jeered by people and mocked by people. No, no, you misunderstand. That's not the end. If you're going to look there, you're going to be defeated. But look to the end. 3 days later, He rose from the tomb. He ascended up into heaven. He lives on high. And one day, we have a reunion with Him. Man, that's a great purpose. When God saved me, He changed my whole purpose in life. I began to live to please Him above all. What a difference that makes. No longer for self. You remember that famous inaugural line by John F. Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Oh, we sure turned that around this nation, didn't we? Now, what will they give me? What will Congress give me? And we keep voting for the guy that will give us the most and let the country just be ruined. What a shame. Sadly, that whole election theme today is, what will you do for me? No, I've got a greater purpose than what people do for me. It's to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, too many times in the church, we've carried that whole wrong philosophy. What will the church do for me? Will it give me money? Will it take care of this? Will it do that? What will you do for Jesus? What will you do for Him? Eternal purpose. Yes, you get saved. You might still die of some disease. God may not heal you. Didn't heal Paul. You may have more troubles than you ever had before as far as people giving you a hard time, as far as a lot of things not working out like you would like them to have worked out. But dear friend, if you get saved, you escape hell. If you get saved, you get peace with God. If you get saved, you have every sin forgiven. If you get saved, you get His presence from now on throughout eternity. And if you get saved, you get His purpose in life. To me, that's plenty reason to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of our dear Savior. I thank You, Father, for saving my soul. Thank You for forgiving my sin. Thank You for Your cleansing. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your purpose of life. God, now I pray for every individual here. You know, Lord, who is saved and who isn't. You know who has been born again and who hasn't. You know each individual right here that if they left this building today and got in a wreck that took their life, you know who'd be in hell before the night came. And you know who'd be in heaven. Father, I pray right now the Spirit of God would deal with hearts. Father, for those that are lost, may they see their need for Jesus Christ, their only hope, and turn to Him and be saved. God, for those who've been saved, those who are believers, their hearts ought to be full of rejoicing I didn't even cover all the benefits of knowing Christ as Savior. We could have added so many more to that, but they're good reasons for me. God, please, may believers say, you know, He's been so good to me. I ought to want to serve Him and live for Him with my life. I'm not worthy, but He allows us to serve Him. Father, have Your way in every heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.